NTSB issues its report on Continental Connections 3407. The battle over NASA is joined. And Robert Gates shakes up the F-35 program. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, February 4th, 2010. The National Transportation Safety Board, in a public board meeting in Washington Tuesday, approved a final report on Continental Connections 3407, a regional flight operated by Colgan Air, which crashed on approach to Buffalo Niagara International a year ago this month, killing all 49 on board and one on the ground. The official cause is listed as an inappropriate response by the captain to the stick shaker's warning, resulting in a stall from which the crew could not recover. Additional failings of the flight crew were also noted. Notwithstanding Randy Babbitt's frequent theme that the FAA can't regulate professionalism, NTSB seems to be asking him to try. Among 25 recommendations in the report are some dealing with pilot professionalism, flight crew monitoring failures, fatigue, remedial training, pilot records, stall training, and airspeed selection procedures. One would add yet another stall warning to the regs, making the yellow or amber caution band on glass panels, currently recommended in an advisory circular, a hard requirement for certification under Part 25. The board also announced it would continue study on two other issues, safety lapses caused by distraction of crews due to non-flying activities, and the practice of code sharing, or subbing out of short-haul flights by the majors to the regionals. In a written response, the FAA commented, quote, "In the past year, the FAA has driven significant improvements in pilot professionalism, training, and background checks. We will soon publish proposed federal rules to prevent pilot fatigue and further improve training. Airline passengers deserve an expertly trained and well-rested crew, whether they are flying on a major or regional jet. Pilots must be trained for the mission they are flying, and the FAA already is working to further improve their professional qualifications. The FAA will review and evaluate today's NTSB recommendations to help determine what further actions may be needed," unquote. Colgan Air says the pilots of 3407 had been through thorough initial and recurrent training prior to the accident that claimed 50 lives last February. In a written statement, the airline said in part, quote, "By all accounts, Captain Renslow and First Officer Shaw were fine people, but they knew what to do in the situation they faced that night a year ago, had repeatedly demonstrated that they knew what to do, and yet did not do it. We cannot speculate on why they did not use their training in dealing with the situation they faced," unquote. Colgan says a number of steps have been taken to further enhance its training and hiring programs over the past year. The airline says it will review the findings and recommendations of the NTSB closely and work with its industry colleagues and regulators to reinforce this primary industry objective. The NTSB has issued a preliminary report on the January 18th crash of a Beechcraft B-60 Duke Twin in a residential neighborhood in Madison, Alabama. The pilot and his passenger died. There were no injuries noted on the ground. The board reports the pilot was experienced and current. The plane was inannual. And while an IFR flight plan had been filed, VFR conditions prevailed at the crash scene. The pilot departed Huntsville International Airport for Nashville, but reported a right engine failure 13 minutes later and was cleared to return to Huntsville on 1-8 right. The NTSB preliminary suggests that that right engine failure was catastrophic. A 5-by-6-inch hole was found in the top of the crankcase. The connecting rod and cap from cylinder 1 were found in the debris path. The piston and pin were never found. A witness who saw the plane coming down reported the right engine cowling appeared to be propped open. A fire consumed much of the aircraft's structure, but the board says there is no suggestion of any other mechanical or fuel anomalies, and the left engine looked okay. The failed right engine has been retained for further analysis. A final report, including probable cause, is likely months away. Up next on ANN, lawmakers from Florida and Texas weigh in on changes at NASA. Private space developers get $50 million in contracts. And the DoD warns Lockheed about missed F-35 milestones. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC 700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 4th. I'm Paul Plack. The congressional battle lines are forming in response to the Obama administration's new direction in space, and those lines are geographical this time, not partisan, proving that both parties will fight to preserve their spots at the trough. Senator Bill Nelson, a Florida Democrat and former astronaut, says in a video on his website, quote, "We need a plan that provides America with uninterrupted access to space while also funding exploration to expand the boundaries of our knowledge," unquote. Florida stands to lose 7,000 high-tech jobs when the shuttle program ends this year, but it also has a recently licensed horizontal launch spaceport at Jacksonville to serve the commercial sector. Congressman Pete Olson, a Texas Republican, told the Washington Post, quote, "This is a crippling blow to America's human spaceflight program," unquote. Texas has entrenched aerospace contractors, but is also the home of a Boeing division that just got an $18 million development grant intended to spur private spaceflight R&D. Elon Musk, founder of California-based SpaceX, told the paper that the president was simply being pragmatic about the Constellation program. He said the nation doesn't have the appetite for an Apollo-type program or the government spending needed to make it happen. Even as lawmakers load their guns, the Obama administration has announced the funding of $50 million in agreements to further the commercial sector's capability to support transport of crew to and from low Earth orbit. NASA says Space Act agreements have been signed with Blue Origin of Kent, Washington, the Boeing Company of Houston, Paragon Space Development Corporation of Tucson, Arizona, Sierra Nevada Corporation of Louisville, Colorado, and United Launch Alliance of Centennial, Colorado. The agreements are for the development of crew concepts and technology demonstrations and investigations for future commercial support of human spaceflight. Some of these companies haven't been on the NASA gravy train before. Some are already recruiting engineers. These are apparently the companies Alabama Senator Richard Shelby was mocking Monday as rocket hobbyists. Defense Secretary Robert Gates has announced a restructuring in the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter Office to provide increased oversight of the program. He also said he's withheld $614 million in performance fees from the lead contractor, Lockheed Martin. Quote, "Since the taxpayers should not have to bear the entire burden of getting the JSF program on track, the progress and performance of the F-35 over the last 2 years has not been what it should, as a number of key goals and benchmarks were not met," unquote. During a visit to the Lockheed Martin plant last summer, Gates said the importance of the F-35 program cannot be overstated, citing the aircraft as an example of new, innovative, and more cost-effective ways to meet the country's current and future defense needs. Read more details, including some of the personnel affected, in the text version of this story, dated February 3rd, at aero-news.net. Still ahead, the Lance Air Owners and Builders Organization has found insurance for its members. Airbus raises prices, and a New York TV reporter takes hyperbole to a new level. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAS GPS. Follow the leader.
We're we're back to wrap up your Aero briefing for Thursday, February 4th. I'm Paul Plack. Lobo, the Lancair Owners and Builders Organization, says its custom Lancair flight training syllabi have received a careful review by Chartis Aerospace Insurance Services, and the firm has now accepted the initial and recurrent flight training programs to meet its insurance requirements for all models of the Lancair kit plane. Lobo President Jeff Edwards explained, quote, "Working with the FAA and a team of highly qualified, highly skilled professional flight instructors intimately familiar with Lancair aircraft, we created and published initial and recurrent training programs for Lancair aircraft, including the popular Legacy and 4," unquote. Chartis's Director of Safety and Loss Control Services, Ray Stanton, added, quote, "We are very pleased with the detail contained within the syllabus and that Lobo has attained FAA FITS acceptance," unquote. Airbus has increased the list price of all its aircraft by an average of 5.8%. It's the first increase since January of 2008 and applies immediately. Airbus sales chief John Leahy explains, quote, "Even with record aircraft deliveries and impressive orders in recent years, the continuing strength of the euro against the U.S. dollar and the ongoing financial challenges ahead have forced us to take action," unquote. Airbus has delivered over 6,000 aircraft since its first delivery in 1974. The company's order backlog stands at almost 3,500. Oh, and worth noting, nobody pays list price. Civil liberty and privacy groups are upset with a policy announced Monday at Heathrow and Manchester airports in England. The London Daily Mail reports that full body scanners made their official entry into service, and Transport Secretary Lord Adonis marked the occasion by announcing, quote, "In the immediate future, only a small proportion of airline passengers will be selected for scanning. If a passenger is selected for scanning and declines, they will not be permitted to fly," unquote. Officials also said the restriction against scanning those under 18 years old has also been removed. Look for the scanners first in Manchester's Terminal 2 and in other terminals shortly. And finally today, sometimes you can't help but laugh at the word choices of news writers. It was Tuesday morning, just as the rush hour was getting underway. 28-year-old pilot Frank Vogt had just taken off from Philadelphia with a traffic reporter as his passenger in a Cessna 150, beginning yet another day of building flight time for a real job by overflying the New Jersey Turnpike. Suddenly, the engine didn't sound or feel too good. Vogt watched the oil pressure drop and decided he couldn't glide back to Philly. So he dead-sticked it down onto the turnpike, becoming a part of the traffic story rather than a reporter of it, until the plane could be towed off. The plane was not damaged, nobody was hurt, although the traffic jam caused by rubberneckers extended for more than a mile in both directions, so there are probably a lot of people who were late. But that story, of course, needs embellishment to be sensational. So WCBS-TV reporter Jay Dow spiced it up a little. He labeled it a crisis, a terrifying incident, and, you guessed it, the miracle on the turnpike. That's the latest from Aero News. Hey, at least he waited until Walter Cronkite was in his grave. Remember to check out the ANN special feature today in part two of my conversation with Brent Blue of ThroughTheFence.org. Brent tells us two specific things we can all do to stop the FAA from closing off airports to access from hangar homes. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.